Well, good afternoon. I don't know about you, but I admire different people for different reasons. And by admire, I really mean envy different people for different reasons. You all are obviously very familiar with our friend Rick Sparks. He has some talents that I really wish that I had. Rick, I think, knows the name of every person that he's ever met, and their grandma, and their dog, and every other person associated with them. And I don't know how he does it, but he does. That's definitely one of his strengths, and I admire that in him, and I wish I had that ability. Other people, I can think of other talents that they have that I wish I had. Many of you are probably familiar with Kevin Ferguson. Kevin Ferguson, he was a member at the Church at Ozark, where we attend for a very long time, and he's a math teacher, and not surprisingly, he's really into numbers, and for some reason, numbers just stick in his brain in a way that is not normal. Other people are not like this. Kevin can tell you every significant date associated with any event in the Bible. And maybe there's other people like that, but Kevin being a math teacher, being a numbers guy, that is definitely one of his abilities. You can ask him what year the third Exodus took place out of the Babylonian captivity. He can tell you. I don't know, but he can tell you. And in many cases, he can tell you differences of opinion on that. He'll tell you three or four different dates that might be true. Numbers just stick in his mind. I wish I was like that. I wish I had that ability. Some of you know Joshua Riggins. I know that most of you know Joshua Riggins. He has another ability that I wish I had. Joshua will sometimes ask me questions about the reigns and kings of different people in Judah and Israel. And I'm usually embarrassed to admit that I don't know. And Joshua could probably tell you the name and reign of every king of Israel, the name and reign of every king of Judah. And that's just something he's very good at. It's very interesting to him, and he knows it. And I wish I was like that. I wish I had that ability. Some of you know Dane Hartman. You know Dane Hartman. Dane is the most gentle, calm person I've ever met. I think Dane could literally be on fire, and you'd never know that anything was wrong. He would just continue talking in the same calm, gentle voice. I admire these people because they have strengths that I don't have. This morning in my lesson, I talked about our failures. This afternoon, I'd like to talk about the other side of the coin and talk about our strengths. Every Christian person has different strengths. They have abilities that other people don't have. This isn't something that we always think about, but it is something that we should think about more often, I would say. And this is all by God's design. Now, I don't know for sure if God put Kevin Ferguson in the Church of Christ and gave him this special ability to remember numbers because it's a benefit to the rest of us, but maybe he did. But maybe he did. But one thing we do know for a fact is that God gives different Christian people different abilities. And it's by God's design, according to God's providence, that we have different strengths. God gives us a wide range of abilities, and he does this for the mutual benefit of the church. God expects us to do what we're capable of doing. He doesn't expect us to do what we're incapable of doing, but he does expect us to do, to the best of our ability, what we are capable of doing. And for each person, this might be a little bit different. I'll refer again to Rick. He has an ability to remember things that I just don't think I have. Sometimes I'll think to myself, is it because I don't try hard enough? Is it because I'm not disciplined enough or focused enough? And I genuinely don't think that's it. I think he just has an ability that I don't have. And maybe somewhere, somehow, maybe I have an ability that he doesn't have. I don't know what that is, but maybe it exists. And whatever that might be, I think it's possible that these differences exist for the benefit of the church. And I know some differences do exist for the benefit of the church. So let me read to you a very familiar passage, and this will be the main scripture that we refer to during this lesson. You all know it very well. We're thinking of Romans chapter 12, where the Apostle Paul talks about how different members in the body have different functions. So you're welcome to turn there with me if you'd like. But I also understand that you know this passage very well. This is Romans chapter 12. I'll start by reading just verses 3 through 8. We'll be talking about the individual strengths of Christians in Christ's church. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. Paul said, "For this I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly," or seriously, "as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but also the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." In other words, we're all part of the same body. We're all joined together, serving each other, but that doesn't mean we all have the same function. Verse 6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy," I think he's talking about inspired teaching there, "if that was a gift that we had were we living in the first century," he says, "let us prophesy in proportion to our faith." In other words, to the extent that you're able to, whatever your ability is, you should prophesy to the fullest extent of that ability. Verse 7, he talks about ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. "He who teaches," I think there he's talking about uninspired teaching, a gift that some people do have today. If you have that, teach in proportion to your faith. Verse 8, "He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." So with maybe one exception, and that's prophecy, and not maybe, that certainly is an exception. With that exception, these are all gifts given to Christian people, and I do believe these gifts continue to exist today. I think there are people in this building right now who have a special ability to minister to other people. In this building today, there are some people who have a special ability given by God to teach. Not miraculous, but a unique ability. There are people in this building who have a special ability to exhort. Others who have a special ability to give. Others who may have a special ability to lead. And in my mind, this is such a powerful thought, to know that in God's body, Christ is the head. We all are parts and appendages of that body, and God gives us abilities that he doesn't necessarily give to everyone. The Apostle Peter, in a very similar way, talks about how people in the church have different gifts. This is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. "As each one has received a gift," in other words, you have received a gift, "therefore," Peter says, "minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with all the ability with which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." I do think that God gives Christian people spiritual talents that they would not otherwise have were it not for the indwelling of the Spirit and the providence of God to build up the body of Christ. If that isn't true, I don't know what these scriptures are talking about. I do think that each of us are different parts that all build the whole body, and each part is different. Some parts are similar, but still unique from each other. So the question I want you to think about this afternoon, and I do want you to think about it, and I want you to answer it, at least for yourself. What is the gift that you have that you can use for the furtherance of the church? What is that? What gift do you have? What spiritual gift do you have that you can use for the benefit of the church? In the two passages that I just read, we have a list of things, a list of gifts that you might have. Are you a speaker? There are some people who have a special ability to speak and teach for the church. Are you a helper, a minister, as Paul calls it? Are you a helper or a servant? Do you have a special ability to identify and fulfill needs that other people in the church might have? Is that you? When God talks about people who minister to the church, this gift of ministering, is that you? Is that the ability that you have? Are you a teacher? This doesn't have to be public teaching. There's a lot of teaching that goes on outside of this assembly and from other places besides behind this pulpit. Are you a teacher? Do you have a special ability? Are you good at teaching other people? And maybe if you're none of those things, maybe you're a giver. Are you a giver? There are some people who have a special heart of giving. Giving comes in many forms. You might give of your time. You might give of your physical resources. There are lots of ways to give. But God puts givers in the church, people who have a special ability to show benevolence. If you're none of those things, maybe you're a leader. There's lots of ways to lead. You don't have to be an elder or an evangelist or a deacon to be a leader in a church, to be a leader among your brethren. But some people in the church do have a special ability to lead. Some people have a special ability to encourage and move people forward. Maybe that's you. Is that you? Do you have that gift? And if you do, know that you have that gift by God's providence, according to His wisdom, for the development and health of the church. Maybe you're an empathizer. There are some people in the church who have a special ability to empathize, to feel the pain of other people. And that's needed in the church. Some of you may have known our sister who's now passed away. Her name was Gwen Swearingen. She was a member of the Church of Christ at Ozark. I am absolutely convinced that God gave her a special ability to empathize. And He didn't just give it to her. She had to earn it. She went through many, many health problems. And for as long as I knew her, she didn't complain about it. She always smiled. Gwen had plenty of imperfections, just like the rest of us, but she was an incredible empathizer. When there was a need, she was the first in line to help. She didn't always have a lot that she could offer. Sometimes she did, but not always. But she was always the first in line to help. My wife had some health issues. Gwen was always willing to help in whatever way that she could. There are people like that who are empathizers. And this is the essential message of Romans chapter 12. I'm looking at verse 6. This is the essential message about gifts in the church. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Two facts that cannot be overlooked. You have gifts that are different from other people, and you should use them. Could you imagine if some part of your body decided it just wasn't going to do its job anymore? Some of you have had this experience, actually. I was just talking about a heart replacement, a part of the body that decided it wasn't going to do its job anymore. It's damaging to the rest of the body. My wife's health issue that I mentioned to you, she had a condition called ulcerative colitis. Her body decided it didn't want the colon anymore, and she doesn't have one anymore. This was about 5 years ago, so she's 30, so I guess she was 25. So she was 25, and her body decided it didn't need a colon anymore. And you can imagine the havoc that had in her body, when the body decided it didn't want one of its parts anymore. It changes the body. And so understand these things. Every part of God's Christian body has a different function. And in order for the body to benefit from that, that part of the body has to do what it has the ability to do. And one of the things that is so important about this is that as individual people having different gifts, we will never be happier than when we are using our strengths, even if at first it makes us uncomfortable. Using our strengths makes us happier, and it makes the church stronger. And this is an important thing to understand. We have gifts. Those gifts are different. You are a better person, and the church is a better place when you are using your gifts. So why do you think that sometimes we just choose not to use our strengths? Now, this is a reality that we have to deal with. We understand that we might have strengths and abilities and talents, and we'd rather just not use them. And maybe there's times where we look around and we see someone in the church who has an ability, and we can see that that person just doesn't want to use that ability. So my question right now is, why not? Why is it that sometimes we know that we have an ability that we would rather not use, and we choose not to? There's multiple reasons for this. One reason is we just don't really think it's worth it. Sometimes we think that whatever ability we have is just not good enough for ourselves, and not really going to be a benefit to anyone around us. But isn't this exactly what happens in the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25? There was a servant who had 5 talents. He was given a lot from the master, and so what did he do with that? He produced 5 more. There was another servant who was really given quite a bit less, only given 2 talents, but what did that servant do? Produced 2 more. And then we get to the last servant, only given 1 talent, just 1 measly, in his mind, meaningless talent. And he thought to himself, I can't do anything with this. I don't want to take the risk of ruining this talent. I've only got 1, so I'm just going to hide it, not use it, and then give it back in 1 piece. And how disappointing was that to the master? That servant was punished. And we read about the thought process that this servant had. Matthew chapter 25, verse 24. And think about whether or not this ever represents the thought processes you might have as you talk yourself into not using a talent that you do have. Matthew chapter 25, verse 24. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. And look, you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew I reaped where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. You ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have at least received back my own with interest. In other words, the master was saying, you could have done something, but you did nothing. And this is the lesson we have to keep in mind. If God has given you an ability, you don't get to decide how significant or insignificant you think it is. If you have a spiritual ability given by God, God's expectation is that you do something. If you have an ability, God's expectation is at least do something. And I'll admit, there have been times where I think that I'm not really that great at something, and so it's not worth my effort to try. It's not worth my effort to invest that ability. And God's disappointed with that. If you have an ability, you have it because God gave it to you. And so he expects you to use it. Related to that, another reason that sometimes we neglect to use and develop our abilities, our strengths, is because maybe we are underestimating our own potential. I think this is a similar thought to the issue with the parable of the talents. We sometimes fail to use our abilities because we're underestimating what we're actually capable of. And in response to this, I think of what Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, verses 30 and 32. To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed. When it is sown on the ground, it is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs, and shoots out large branches, so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Our faith and our abilities may at times seem so small. Maybe we look at the abilities that we have and we compare ourselves to other people and we think, well, I'm just really not that talented. Maybe you've thought that before. I'm just not that talented. I don't really have these abilities that other people have. And I gave you a list of 4 people that when I look at their lives, I think, well, I just don't have those abilities. And so Jesus compares our faith to a mustard seed, and maybe our faith and our abilities to a mustard seed. What we have may feel small, but when it's planted, God will do the rest. God won't force you to plant it, but if you do plant it, if you invest in your abilities, God will help you to grow, and God will help you to do far more than you could have done on your own. Our abilities are the product of God's work, not necessarily our own merits. Not necessarily the product of our own effort. And this is something else that's so important to keep in mind. When we underestimate our own potential, we are undercutting God's ability to use us. And how insulting must that be to God? If we choose not to use and invest our abilities, we're not just saying that we don't think it's worth investing. We're also saying that God couldn't possibly do anything with our abilities. How insulting must that be to God? And so let's not do that. If God's given you an ability, if He's given you a talent, whatever it might be, whether you have the ability to lead or empathize or speak or teach or give, if you have one of those abilities, even if you don't think it's that much, don't underestimate yourself and don't underestimate what God can do with that ability. Maybe you've heard this quotation before. Everybody is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it'll live its whole life believing that it's incompetent. You ever heard that before? I think somebody said that came from Einstein. Einstein didn't actually say that. But it is true. It is true, isn't it? If you take the most powerful fish in the sea and ask it to climb a tree, it will look like the most worthless, incompetent creature, right? The same thing could be true if we try to force ourselves to be someone that we're not and also stop ourselves from being someone who we are capable of being. What if a fish decided that it wouldn't swim because it wanted to ambulate in some other way? It would never be very good. The same thing is true in our spiritual lives. We don't have the same abilities, and so we shouldn't measure ourselves according to the ability of other people. And so that's the next point that I want to make. Why is it that we sometimes don't develop and use our abilities as we could? Why is it sometimes we don't use the strengths that we have as we could? It's because we wish our strengths were those of someone else. Because we wish our strengths were those of someone else. Maybe you really, really wish you were a leader. But maybe you're just not. And that's okay. But if you're not a leader, I am positive that you are something else. You are something else that's just as important as being a leader, but maybe not a leader. But you are something. And that's why it's so important that we don't stunt our own growth by comparing ourselves to other people. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. For they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. There's several points to be taken from this. The main thing, though, is don't compare yourself with yourself or with other people. We could get in the habit of doing this, and it could compound a lot of issues. If we compare our ability to teach to someone who's not a teacher, you're always going to think you're the best teacher around, won't you? If you compare your ability to teach with someone who's not a teacher, you will always think you're the best, and you'll never grow, and you'll never be better than you are right now. If you compare your ability to give, to show benevolence, if you compare yourself with someone who doesn't have the ability to be benevolent, you'll always think too much of yourself. And so that's why Paul says, don't compare yourself with yourselves. You be who you are. Do what you are capable of doing. Don't compliment yourself. Don't compare yourself to other people. You just be who you are and fulfill the abilities that God has given to you. And so going back to my original analogy, I don't have to put myself down because I don't have the spiritual strengths that other people do. Now, if I'm purposefully diminishing my abilities, then yes, there is an issue there. But if I just don't have the ability that some people do, I don't need to put myself down. I don't need to feel bad about myself. I need to get to work doing what I can do, doing what God has enabled me to do, whatever that is. And remember one more thing when it comes to our gifts. And I think this goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. Remember that every person and every gift is important. Maybe when you come to church or you're interacting with the church at different times, maybe you just don't feel like you're making important contributions. You don't know that. You don't know that. Unless you can read the mind of every person in the church, you don't know the effect that you might be having on other people. There's a lot of souls that have been saved and a lot of souls that have been lost because of simple actions of other people, and they just had no idea the influence they were having on another brother or sister. So remember that. When you brighten the corner where you are, when you do the work that you're capable of doing, God's not going to send you a list of all the people that you've influenced in your life. You're not always going to get a special letter of gratitude for the good work that you've done. You may not hear anything. You may not know. But the expectation is still that you use the gifts that you have, that you do them to the best of your ability, because this is how God designed the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 20 through 22. But now indeed there are many members and yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Some of the smallest parts of your human body are the most important. You have blood vessels in your heart called the coronary arteries. They are tiny. They are so small. And yet, if one of those coronary arteries gets clogged up, you know what you call that? It's called a heart attack, and you might die. There's lots of other parts in your body that are so small, you don't think about them, you don't notice them until they're not working. And sometimes this might be true in the church as well. Don't look down on yourself because you think the role that you fill is not so significant. You have a role. Maybe your role is to show up at church 3 times a week and be an encourager and an empathizer with everyone that shows up at this building. Maybe your role is not to stand behind this pulpit, but to make phone calls and visit people who need your help. Everyone can do that, but there are some people who just have a special ability. I'm mentioning those things because I don't feel like I'm that great at those roles. But you have an ability, and God expects you to use it. Sometimes a member might seem weaker or less significant because the ability that they have is not on display all of the time for everyone to see. And so that's why Paul says those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And by necessary, he means essential. And maybe that's you. Every person's personality and ability fulfills special needs in the church. And so if you feel different, maybe sometimes you just feel different at church, you should. That's exactly the way it's supposed to be. You aren't supposed to be like everyone else. The abilities that you have are not supposed to be the exact same as everyone else. The thing that should be the same is our faith in God and our faith in fulfilling the abilities that God has given to us. And when we do that, the church grows, it thrives, and we become the body of Christ that He wants us to be. Hope that gives you some things to think about through the rest of this week, to think about what your strengths are, and understand the importance of your abilities. You should know what your strengths are. God will use you however He wants to use you. But if you feel like you can understand what your abilities are, that is so helpful to a Christian person in being able to articulate and to see what your strength is and to use it and to feel fulfilled knowing you're doing what you're capable of doing. And if you don't have that figured out, you should figure it out, and you'll be more fulfilled because of that. We want to offer an invitation to anyone in the church who needs that. If you need special prayers from the church, if you've not yet accepted the gospel, if you need our encouragement, whatever that is, we can take care of it as we stand and sing.